Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
Mark Edge, Free Talk Live, coming to you from Freedom Fest here. I've got David DeLugas, Executive Director of Parents USA. So, David, this is one of the issues that's near and dear to me, is parents being able to, educate their kids, raise their kids the way they want. Because it seems to me that, government bureaucrats have put together the government education system. This is the same education system that kicks out 20% functionally illiterate graduates. I'm not talking about the people who don't make it through their system. And by the way, their dropout rate is tremendously higher than the dropout rate from homeschooling and private school organizations. They're far more represented in the prison system. Like, every form of failure that can be measured, the government system manages to way outshine any other form of education. These are the same people that suggest that somehow I am not capable of raising my kid. They who fail at every turn. There's not one that they succeed at. They're the one they fail at every turn. They suggest that I'm not able to raise my kid.
Well, you're absolutely right, Mark. The real problem in our society is government is out of control, it's too large, and it's obviously ineffective, inefficient, and doesn't do a good job at what they're supposed to do. If we go back to the Constitution, the limits of government are well ingrained in our Constitution, and yet politicians, because of the money, the power, the prestige, just their egos, continually grow our government. And they intrude in every possible way, excusing it as if, well, but we're doing it for your own good. Too many of our population are willing to allow government to interfere because perhaps they just don't feel capable of running their own lives. So they allow government to run their own lives, which for them, maybe that's a fine. But don't make that choice for you, your family, or for me. And that's where Parents USA really launched. Because I, as an attorney, observed how frequently our government micromanages every aspect of parenting. In the family courts, judges will tell parents what they can and cannot do in ways that are completely unrelated to their task in a, say, a divorce case, custody case, of that nature. But you're right about education. But it extends to everything. Parents USA provides legal services pro bono. We're under 501c3, and we are relying on donations. That said, we provide pro bono legal services to parents in situations where the constitutional rights of parents are infringed upon. So what does that mean? Well, the Supreme Court, the final arbiter of our laws, has ruled consistently that it is a fundamental right that parents have to raise their children as they choose, so long as they don't cause actual harm to their children. Now, the Supreme Court hasn't completely defined actual harm, but it's physical harm or long-term emotional harm. But to illustrate, we're currently representing a mom who lives in North Georgia, who one day during the pandemic, when all of her kids were at home from school, went to work for a few hours, and her 14-year-old daughter was put in charge of all of the other children. Well, the 14-year-old had online schooling and momentarily was distracted, and the 4-year-old left the house and went next door, and the next-door neighbor, rather than escorting the child back to his home, called the sheriff's office. Well, they showed up later. Everything worked out that day, but a week later, they came back with an arrest warrant, charged her with criminal reckless conduct. That statute in Georgia was declared unconstitutional as applied to a parent in a similar situation in 1997. But this is representative of what people in law enforcement, prosecutors' offices can do. They can do whatever they want, and that presumption of innocence, that only applies in the courtroom when you're being tried. Now, there's a fabulous legal commentator, Clark Neely, with the Cato Institute, who refers to the term as plea coercion. police will often overcharge, or the prosecutors will often overcharge a particular set of facts that presumably could be found to be a crime, such as, we're going to charge you with armed robbery, but maybe it was shoplifting, but you had a pocket knife in your pants. And then when it comes time to go to trial, you're facing 20 years in prison if you're found guilty, but they offer you a plea deal of a year of probation, a $500 fine, and pretty much anybody, unless they're just a gambler, is going to accept that plea deal. Well, that was offered here, too. The mom in our case was offered a plea deal where if she were to plead guilty, go to a parenting class, pay a fine, and agree that her children could not babysit one another or care for one another, that it could only be an adult, unlike every other family in the entire state of Georgia and nationally, only an adult could look after her kids, they would let this charge go. Thankfully, Melissa Henderson is courageous enough to allow us to defend her, and we're going to take it through trial if we have to. But I did file a motion to quash the accusation against her, the criminal charges, and the judge has candidly sat on that motion for over a year now. That judge heard us argue orally on July 1 of 2021. The briefing has been completed, and he has yet to rule. Again, a representation of our judicial system, government overreach, and what does the ordinary citizen do in response? Well, they either succumb or they find legal help, and hopefully that legal help understands the nuances of these constitutional rights principles. Because, again, it's not what Parents USA believes is the right of parents. It's what the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled time and time again consistently.
So, I mean, most of these cops, I'm presuming, at least their superiors, are my age. 51 is how old I am. And the idea of a 14-year-old babysitting a 4-year-old isn't new. It's not like these people have been confronted with, dear God, what this is an innovation in parenting. This is a new step out, like in any of this stuff. It's of course I was babysat by 14-year-olds. They were probably younger than that. I have no idea how old those older gals that babysat me when I was, you know, those kind of ages were. Anytime, you know, like, obviously parenting isn't a perfect thing. It hasn't been for the entire length of the species, and it isn't now. And it's unfortunate that the kid walked next door and knock, knock, hi, I just want to say hi, or whatever the kid did. But, you know, that's not a reason that a parent should be treated badly. So it's these cops that are enforcing this stuff. They're the, you know, the tip of the spear of the state. What are they doing? Are they covering their butt? They're not evil, presumably. I mean, I hope they're not evil. That would be, let's hope that the police forces of America aren't populated by evil people that want to see the state take care of other people's kids because somehow they're better at it. I just don't understand. What is their motivation?
Well, on a general level, I would say that police, like a lot of people who are given authority, believe that if they say something, you should comply. It's, I said it, it's my view, you must comply. In this particular case, we now suspect that the deputy who sought the arrest warrant that a magistrate judge signed, which judges frankly sign pretty much anything that's put in front of them, is, as far as an arrest warrant application and affidavit, about a year earlier met with the mom after her children were out in the yard playing, and somebody called and said, hey, those kids are kind of out in the yard playing close to the road. Oh my gosh. By the way, it's a cul-de-sac. It's a small area. It's rural Georgia. They were not in danger, but even so, police officer, a deputy showed up and told the mom, don't do that anymore. And he's the one that sought the arrest warrant. It's my belief that, like a lot of those in power, he just simply, this was retaliation. You didn't listen to me, I told you not to do this, and yet you did it anyway. And retaliation is within those types of deprivations of civil liberties that law enforcement are not allowed to do.
So where would people who need you or want to help or in whatever way find Parents USA?
Our website URL is parentsusa.org. We're also on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and YouTube. We have a new YouTube channel as well.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find Ready Hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Mark Edge for Free Talk Live, coming to you from Freedom Fest. This is the first day, and it is a big, exciting event. I love Freedom Fest. I love being here. I love the crowd. And right now I'm sitting with Dan McKnight from Bring Our Troops Home. Dan, tell me about who you are and why you wanted to create an organization called Bring Our Troops Home.
Sure. I'm a 13-year veteran of the United States military. I served in the Marines and the Army and the Idaho Army National Guard, and I served in Afghanistan. I reenlisted to go to war after 9/11, wanting blood. And I spent 18 months there, came home injured, left the military, and went underground for about 10 years and was just angry and mad. And when my best friend went back for his 8th combat deployment in the National Guard, I decided to do something about it. And I had a previous relationship with Jim Risch, who was our governor. And Jim Risch had just become the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, the second most powerful man in foreign policy.
Governor of where?
He was the governor of Idaho. Now he's a senator from Idaho. And I thought I had an opportunity to reach out to Jim Risch and maybe affect foreign policy. And so I questioned him on what he could do to end the war in Afghanistan and Iraq and reclaim Congress's authority to declare war and take it back from the president. And he said, Dan, I'm with you. I'm done with nation building. And I thought, my God, I just changed U.S. foreign policy after 80 years. And then he went back to Washington, D.C. and voted 3 times in the next 90 days to extend the war in Yemen and Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria. And so we started a veterans organization mostly made up of combat veterans from the global war on terror that are trying to get Congress to reclaim their authority over the executive branch. And we decided after dealing with Lindsey Graham and Liz Cheney and Jim Risch that they're a lost cause too. And we've now taken our fight back to the states, and we're using the 10th Amendment to have states reclaim their control over their militia.
So it is amazing how many National Guard guys ended up over and over again. You said 8 deployments with the National Guard, and that's stunning to me. These are not regular Army. These are guys that signed up to do weekends and, you know, 2 weeks a year, you know, maybe handle floods or whatever, and they're going over there and fighting. I can see what might have motivated you, but is there anything specific?
Certainly. So the National Guard, they are among the best trained military in the United States. They have all the best equipment, the best training. But you're right, they are citizen soldiers. And so when they deploy to war, they leave behind a family and a job, business owners, their first responders, policemen, construction, tradesmen, mechanics. And when they leave, that creates a vacuum in the communities. And when they go over and over and over again, it creates this heavy burden on their own community, their own homes. And most of them come home broken. They come home with some mental scars from the war. They come home to broken families and foreclosed homes and broken businesses. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. The National Guard has 3 purposes. In 1906, they were codified as the organized militia. And their purpose is to enforce the laws of the Union, to repel an invasion, and to put down an insurrection. And a declaration of war from Congress becomes the law of the Union. And so that's the only authority that gives the National Guard the ability to go fight in these foreign wars. So absent a declaration of war, the National Guard shouldn't be deploying overseas to fight in these wars.
And is that your the sum total of it? Is it about National Guard, or is it wars in general? I mean, I guess when I think about wars in U.S. history, I think about some that are lesser and more sort of necessary. So I mean, probably your most necessary war, if you talk to somebody, might have been the Revolutionary War. I can make arguments against it, but I can make arguments for it too. World War II has gotten incredible press. Tom Hanks is, a real talent, and he's just a fan of that time frame, and he's kind of built the mystique around World War II and what it was. Is Bring Our Troops Home just a anti-war organization, and if so, why? And what are your thoughts on that?
That's a great question, and you have to split some hairs here. Anybody that's been to war is naturally going to be anti-war. However, we're not so naive.
One would hope that everyone was, right? Like, if you're willing to sacrifice other people's kids to whatever your frickin' cause is, one would hope that you start from the point that we would rather not fight, we'd rather not blow off people's limbs, that we only do it because we have to.
Someone should share that message with Liz and Dick Cheney. I don't think anybody has yet. But when we come home from war, we're not so naive to know that there aren't American interests that have to be defended. But we have a mechanism for that, right? The representatives of the people should be the ones that send the military off to war. And then the commander-in-chief, the president, controls the military at that point. But absent the approval and the declaration from the representatives of the people, the military as a whole, not just the National Guard, but the United States military, should not be going and engaging in these undeclared and endless and unnecessary wars.
I agree with you completely. Now, what about one of the things that I think of is the problems of kind of in insertions, like when going to get Osama bin Laden. When they went into Pakistan to get Osama bin Laden, they had to do. They weren't going to ask Congress whether that was a good idea or something like that. So let's just take that in a vacuum, that kind of idea. What about the president moving, say, special forces troops and that kind of thing?
So we have a mechanism for that. We have the War Powers Act of 1972 or 73, which gives the president the ability to respond to immediate threats, but he has rules that he has to follow. He has to report back to Congress within 30 days, and then he has 90 days to withdraw those troops, and he must report to Congress. They've never done that. The War Powers Act has never been challenged in the Supreme Court. It's just been ignored. And so, yes, I think the president should have the ability to defend American interests, but there are mechanisms and there are rules. We are a society of rules and laws. And without following those and adhering to the most important, that include sending people's sons and daughters off to die, then what kind of society do we have?
One of the things in the writing of the Constitution, we'll note that the Army is not funded. You know, the Navy is part of the Constitution. It says we need a Navy, but it doesn't say we need an Army. And this is kind of an interesting point, is that the founders, it appeared, what they were trying to say was, is we'll raise an army when we need an army, but we're not going to keep an army, a standing army. And if we do, it's just professionals, sergeants, you know, some officers and things like that. And if we need to go rally for war, like Pershing did in World War One, you know, that he was given a year to ramp up. He said he wanted a million troops, you know, on the ground. I don't think he ever got that. But you know, the idea was is that you rallied for it, but that's kind of an old idea. I don't know. What do you think?
The standing army definitely is not part of the Constitution. There's no doubt about that. And was it an oversight by the founding fathers? I don't think so. I think they had it right. I think they deliberated. I think they debated it. I think they discussed it. And they lived and saw what a standing army did to people's liberties and freedom. The cost of a standing military is one that we as a society we've accepted it. But now the military is being used for all kinds of experiments, red flag laws and gender identity and all these things that really shouldn't be part of the military. The military should be for the defense of America and America's interests, period. And so a standing army does create all kinds of standing problems. And from a sound fiscal policy, we know that the military is the biggest suck of useless, wasted dollars that in our budget.
It is highly inefficient, and I would agree with you is that somehow the military has sort of been inserted into this whole woke conversation. And look, I'm not the strongest on one way or the other. I'll admit to being 51 years old and a little confused by the whole thing, but you know, like but I don't think that anybody's tax dollars, if you're, you know, a good Christian and you feel very strongly on the trans issue or God knows what other the issues we might be talking about here, your tax dollars shouldn't be used to promote this particular philosophy. And I don't think the military is the place for these sorts of things, but it certainly has become that.
It has. And the military, like I said, should be for one thing, training and equipping and preparing for the defense of America. There should be no culture in the military other than that. And
where can people go find out more about Bring Our Troops Home?
Yep, bringourtroopshome.us is our organization's website. Our sponsor legislation that we're pushing in the states is defendtheguard.us. And if you want to become a donor and a supporter, it's the 107club.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is taking Paxlovid for his COVID infection. Experts say the drug will likely help him to recover quickly. The president also posting a short video to his Twitter feed.
Hey folks, guess you heard this morning I tested positive for COVID. But I've been double vaccinated, double boosted. Symptoms are mild. And I really appreciate your inquiries and your concerns. But I'm doing well. I'm getting a lot of work done. I'm going to continue to get it done. And in the meantime, thanks for your concern. And keep the faith. It's going to be okay.
The latest border report shows a steady rise in illegal immigrants with ties to terrorism. Six illegal immigrants were flagged for being on the terror watch list in June. That's far more than the 30 terror suspects arrested in the last 4 years combined. This is USA Radio News. The European Central Bank is taking action regarding interest rates.
The president of the Euro Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, had previously signaled it would be increasing the rates in July and September as consumer prices kept surging. Reporting from Frankfurt, Germany, the institution had kept rates at historic lows, in fact in negative territory since 2014. Today's action calls for a 50 basis point increase. Yeah, that's a full half percent. The ECB's new anti-fragmentation tool may be put to the test, which is aimed at supporting those nations with big giant debts, like Italy. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
The House is approving a bill ensuring access to birth control. The vote was 228-195. The Democratic bill faces tough sledding in the 50-50 Senate. Speaker Pelosi cheering passage of the bill, saying that some on the right want to ban contraception. This is USA Radio News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Mark Edge, Free Talk Live, here at Freedom Fest. I've got with me Caitlin Bailey from Old Pros, and it took me a little while to figure out what you guys do over there, Caitlin, but apparently you are advocates for sex workers.
Correct, yeah. We are advocating for the decriminalization of sex work. And specifically at Old Pros, we are trying to create the conditions to change the status of sex workers in society.
So tell me what the status is that you imagine. I mean, sex workers have been around a long time, and, you know, for whatever reason, they've been on the wrong end of the legislative stuff.
Yeah, we've been really wrong about the oldest profession for a really long time. And so the future we imagine is that the sex workers that are already members of our community can be free to contribute, right? Their wisdom, their talents, right? Sex workers are already excellent moms, excellent partners, excellent business associates, great neighbors. But because of the stigma, the shame, and the criminalization, we often have to operate in the shadows, which really disempowers us, right? We can't report crimes committed against us. We can't report domestic abusers. We can't report rapists. We can't report the serial predators, right, that target us. This disempowers us, and it makes us less free as a society. Because what we're seeing is that the tools that we've built to combat sex work, right, to target consensual adult prostitution, is now being used to broadly censor the internet, to broadly censor the freedom of movement, freedom of expression of all of us.
One of the things that deeply concerns me, because I do, you know, like, if you don't think that you sell your body every day, and that you spend time, you know, your time and your body is what you sell, whether you're, you know, doing sex work or doing any work.
Yeah, I will absolutely say, having done prostitution and also political fundraising, my preference is to be paid up front.
That's very clever. When I think about this stuff, I obviously support these people, and I want them to be able to live their lives. I don't know much about their lives. I can't say that I've participated. Of course, I'm supposed to say that. Everybody does. And what is it why is it that they want to use, because it seems like when you talk about prostitution, everybody runs to human trafficking, and I don't know what to do about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of a long pattern, right, of using moral panics to erode liberty, right? And this goes way back, right? The first federal anti-prostitution law in this country was called the White Slave Act or the Mann Act of 1910. And so there was this, frankly, panic, right, that swept the country that, like, immigrants were kidnapping white women and selling them into sex slavery. And historians and academics agree that that was never the recruitment method of choice. There have always been too many volunteers for kidnapping to be a big part of the process. There is absolutely violence and exploitation that happens within the sex industry, but all of that is a direct result of prohibition. We know what prohibition does to markets. It doesn't make them safer. But now we're using the moral panic of human trafficking, right? And we're seeing that already expand, right? We're talking about abortion traffickers, right? Which is voluntary adult women choosing to cross state lines in order to seek a medical procedure that's legal in one state and isn't in another. But we're using the word trafficking, right, to broadly censor the internet, right? Back in 2018, when SESTA FOSTA was passed into law, this is when Backpage was removed, this is when Craigslist Erotic Services was shut down, right? We created an exception to Article 230, and we can already see that being expanded to broadly censor things that the government doesn't like. So these moral panics, right, the satanic panic of the 1980s, we get folks wrapped up in a fervor about a problem that isn't really happening, and then we pass all of these laws that result in real harm. And prostitution and the conflation of adult consensual sex work with the horrible crime of human trafficking is no exception. But all of the laws that we've passed have made it harder to identify and to help victims of violence and exploitation.
Yeah, it does seem to me that if prostitution were legal on the federal government has no business making a law on this anyway. Read the Constitution. I don't care what your opinion is on prostitution. This is an issue of law, and they simply have no business doing that. Now, one could make the argument that a state does have the business of doing it, and my argument on that would be that, in fact, if there were more prostitutes that were able to function legally, advertise, and you know what? I'll even concede that maybe there should be some regulation on the advertising. I would concede that, okay, go ahead and regulate some advertising, whatever that might be. Then what you would see is fewer of these people that were trafficked from foreign countries, presumably, or whatever way, kidnapped and forced into this labor, because there would be enough people that could do this job and that they could report crimes against them and be protected in the workplace like anybody else.
You're 100% true. That's 100% correct. And we even see that. New Zealand decriminalized prostitution in 2003 and has had incredibly positive results, right? The STI rate has plummeted. Violence against women has dropped. Reported rapes have gone down. And also, sex workers are more comfortable reporting crimes committed against them to the police, right?
What about mental health? I've heard that men's mental health is often positively affected by legal prostitution.
I'm sure that that is true, and I will also say that it improves providers' mental health when they're able to pay their bills without risk of fearing arrest. It is impossible to help people that you are trying to hunt.
So how do people, I know you're doing some stuff, how do people get a hold of you and find out more? I mean, it's fascinating stuff. We could go on about the business for a long time. I have a very limited time. Hey, Caitlin, thank you.
Yeah, no, this is a really big issue that impacts so much, and we do a deep dive on it at Old Pros. So you can learn more about our work, sign up for our newsletter at oldprosonline.org. I run a podcast called The Oldest Profession Podcast, where we do a deep dive into a different sex worker from history every week, and I think that understanding the legacy of sex work, right, and how old and deep and important this has been to every society on the face of Earth for all of human history is really important to recognizing the sex workers that are already members of our community.
Yeah, this is something that's whitewashed from the Judeo-Christian, thing out there. The whole society is that, in fact, so many priestesses inside of this And probably priests too. I don't know. I mean, showing my bias.
People of all genders have always participated in this work on both ends of it. But what we did to Mary Magdalene, I think, was awful. And I think that whorephobia has really cost us quite a bit as a culture. We continue to erase the intellectual contributions, not just of people who have engaged in this work, but people who have been accused of engaging in this work.
So it was my understanding Mary Magdalene is just confusion, that she was never even accused of being a prostitute.
Not until 500-something, when one especially misogynistic pope conflated her with several other characters in the Bible, which I understand, there are a lot of Marys. But yes, he erroneously accused her of having participated in sex work, and then they used that as a justification to create a church that literally didn't allow women to talk for over 1,000 years, which is bananas, since, you know, according to gospel, Mary Magdalene was the first Christian preacher, right, the first witness to the resurrection. But because some dumb dude got his history and could, you know, his reading comprehension was off, 600 years later, we're missing out on a hugely important contribution to the gospel. And this is what I mean, right, by freeing sex workers, right? Because even if you have participated in this work, you ought to be able to lend your wisdom, your expertise, and your talents to the communities that you're in. But we are really prevented from doing that by so many systems.
So many religions, including ones that were in Israel, you know, they had rites that were sexual that went on inside of temples, and there was money exchanged hands as donations or whatever. I mean, prostitution's been a part of, you know, just business and religion and all these things for a very long time.
Yes, the church, the brothel, and the theater all have a common ancestor, and that's the temple, right? And so the origin story of prostitution are really the priestess prostitutes that were doing sort of religious rites out of the temple of Ishtar in Mesopotamia. So, yeah, I think this is important history, but sex workers were originally incredibly high status healers, decision makers, priestesses in their own right at a time when the temple was the major organizing force in society.
Yeah, and you can pick whatever society you want.
This is a pattern we see on every continent, yes.
And, yeah, so I want to listen to your podcast. I'm already interested. I like history, and want to find more out about it. Who doesn't want to hear about more about sex workers? Please tell me about it again one more time.
Sure. You can find everything you're looking for at oldprosonline.org. I really encourage folks to sign up for our newsletter. We send one out every Friday. It's a roundup of sex worker rights-related news and why it matters.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Mark Edge, Freedom Fest, here for Free Talk Live, doing interview after interview, and I am excited to be talking to Demetrius Miner from Conservatives Concerned About the Death Penalty. Demetrius, welcome to the show. Tell me what your organization is all about.
Well, thank you for having me. Glad to be here. So we raise concerns about the death penalty for several reasons. Essentially, it's an extension of big government. It's wasteful, it's costly, ineffective. It doesn't make us safer. It doesn't give any services to victims' families. So for this reason and others are why we have grave concerns about the death penalty.
So when I think about the death penalty, I too am concerned about the death penalty. I do have concerns about it. And here's my reason, as I will state, is that the death penalty proposes that in some way we make right the wrong of killing by killing, and the killing of an innocent. We know that, sometimes mistakes are made, even in jury trials, especially in jury trials. You take a bunch of 12 ignoramuses about the law and tell them, make a solution, make a decision here. Sometimes they're going to be mistaken. And then we kill an innocent person in order to make good for killing an innocent person. That makes everybody, in my opinion, that advocates for the death penalty the killer that they're trying to kill. And that doesn't make any sense to me, and it's this sort of dichotomous loop that we all get caught in.
Mark, you hit the nail right on the head. What the death penalty does, it perpetuates this cycle of trauma and grief. And it's just being transferred from the perpetrator to the victim's family. It doesn't solve anything. Here's something that's very concerning about the death penalty. It is the only punishment that is irreversible. If you get it wrong, you can't go back and make amends. You can't go back and correct it. The mistake is fatal. Also, I don't trust the government to give me accurate COVID numbers. I don't trust the government to deliver my mail on time. Why would I trust the government? And Mark, I'm not exaggerating when I say this, but literally with a life and death issue. And so for these reasons and for the ones that you just so eloquently raised, this is why the death penalty needs to be abolished.
So when I think about abolishing the death penalty, I think about places like New Hampshire, for instance, which has a death penalty but hasn't used it in almost 100 years. There's also places like Oklahoma, which seems to be killing them twice a year over there. So there's a wide variety, a wide range of what's going on as far as the death penalty goes. I mean, some people say, well, you know, it doesn't affect that many people. It's not a big government program. But everybody who's on death row gets automatic appeals. They're automatically clogging up the system. And we don't know, like, who's paying for that? It's really expensive. It's pretty cheap to give a bologna sandwich three times a day to somebody in prison. It's really expensive to run them through the court system time after time after time.
If you put the Duke's mayonnaise on a bologna sandwich, it might drive up the price there. But no, it is more expensive for death penalty trials and cases. Contrasted that to being in prison life without parole. And here's the reason why: because of the costs that are accrued over time with death penalties. You need a new jury, new lawyers, and the litigation costs. One thing I do want to respectfully correct: New Hampshire has abolished the death penalty. They did it in 2019 with the help of a Republican state legislator, which shows that this shift is taking place in conservative and libertarian circles, that they are now coming to oppose the death penalty. But a lot of people want to point to DNA evidence. DNA evidence isn't always 100% accurate. And to me, we've gotten it wrong before. If you get it wrong once, that's one time too many when it comes to life.
So let's talk about the cases where we know somebody's guilty. For instance, the Boston bomber you talked about. But by the way, I apologize. I didn't know that New Hampshire had abolished the death penalty. But, you know, I lived there and I left in 2019. So, you know, pardon me. So the Boston bomber. I remember, it's good. Well, I was living in New Hampshire at the time, so some years ago, finding out that the guy that lived, I don't know their names, but the younger brother that lived was going to get the death penalty. So, he was found, the trial was in Massachusetts, and the state full of liberals decided, yeah, this guy's got to die over this one. I thought to myself, as it was coming over the radio, I heard it, and I really feel like this guy's guilty. I could hear myself say, good, right? Like, as a, as a conservative against the death penalty, I don't know if conservatives are, as a libertarian against the death penalty, right, as a human against the death penalty, my reaction was, this guy is guilty, I'm not going to lose any sleep, and I have not, over this guy getting the electric chair or whatever.
Right. So I think that's a total human reaction. I don't think you should feel irrational or abnormal in any ways. And so this is something that many people would label as the most heinous of crimes, right? Here's where this can become problematic, is that when you start having the label most heinous crimes, someone who has a crime committed to them or towards them or towards a loved one, they're going to feel like that's a heinous crime. Like, for example, I think the majority of people will look at the Boston bombing as a heinous crime. But a mother whose daughter has been kidnapped, that might not be considered a heinous crime. And so she's going to feel neglected if she doesn't get the same attention as the Boston bomber. So when we start identifying things as the most heinous, what becomes problematic is that we start valuing one life over the other, and I think that's inconsistent with conservative principles.
I think that's interesting point, place to come on it. Another thing that probably needs to be mentioned when talking about the death penalty is that, and this is never mentioned, and Demetrius, you've probably never heard this one before, is the United States government authorized for decades the use of leaded gas, gasoline. And this went into the atmosphere and settled on the ground and a variety of things, and many kids for a long time, one of the reasons it's speculated that there's far less crime now, that crime began to diminish in the 90s through to now, is that we've been using unleaded gas for most of this time frame, and this lead, in fact, drove a certain percentage of the population completely insane. And, nobody wants to take culpability for that. You know, the people that drove the cars, the people that, were in the government. But you know, what level of culpability they have, I don't know, but I know that it affected it.
So what I would say is this is where we can call for increase of accountability and transparency into corporations or businesses or entities that are making such products that are being used to go forth with the death penalty. And so if we start doing that, I believe we're going to see a larger outcry within our circles, within constituencies, for this not to be used.
So you guys had your success as far as getting the death penalty overturned in New Hampshire. Sounds like you were integral to that. Thank you. And my question would be, most of the people who are listening to this show on 200 radio stations across the United States and, you know, 250,000 downloads and podcasts throughout the month, they're not going to be legislators. There are some legislators that listen to Free Talk Live, but most of them are not. What is the average person going to do? Most people are going to be outraged at what we're talking about because, you know, the kind of people who listen to Free Talk Live, they're going to largely not agree. But hopefully we've been convincing. We haven't, you know, I haven't appealed to anything emotional. Think about the children or whatever. I'm not trying to do that. You know, like I've been as honest as I can. As far as I'm concerned, the death penalty is a big government program that doesn't work, and therefore a conservative should be against it. An advocate for life should be against the death penalty because an advocate for the innocent life should be against the death penalty because some innocent people will necessarily be killed. What can the average person who's listening do to help?
That's a great question. When the average listener may not be a person who's an elected official who holds a position of political influence, but we are the people that get people elected, and we are the people who should hold them accountable. So lawmakers are not going to feel compelled to take a particular course of action if they're not hearing from the people, if they're not hearing from constituents, and if those demands are not being made. So people can easily, for example, we have legislation in the state of Ohio right now to overturn the death penalty. There's bipartisan support. But right now, lawmakers are being distracted by issues such as redistricting and things of that nature, focusing on another primary, that if they're not feeling the pressure, they're not going to feel compelled to take action. And this is for any political issue. It is incumbent upon us as American citizens to let lawmakers know that we don't want the death penalty, that it needs to be repealed. If we put the pressure on the lawmakers, we'll see the action necessary.
What's your website?
www.conservativesconcern.org.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scent hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount.
Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.